so good to be back. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 112 of the podcast. Vacations are over. Football season, from a capping perspective, has arrived. It is time to buckle up. Here's how it's going to shake down. Last few weeks, because it's been summer, we've taken some time off. We've had an episode here. We've had an episode there. We are coming out slinging this week and all the way through football season. No more breaks for the pod. Today, we're going to go to Las Vegas. Marco D'Angelo, one of the best in the business, knows the AFC North inside and out. He's going to give you your divisional preview. We're going to work throughout the divisions. Then we're going to get to a point where we start bringing in the college guys. We're going to go through the Power 5 conferences. We're going to be looking at win totals, futures, you name it. And if you have suggestions, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Joe Fortenball or via my email account, joe.fortenball@gmail.com. I always love to hear from you guys. I always love the interactions we share back and forth. Before we bring Marco onto the program to talk about the AFC North, I'm going to focus on one team for a moment, the Cleveland Browns. Win total, over under 5.5. Now, I don't love any of the win totals within this division. I will say, however, that I do see Lamar Jackson starting sooner rather than later in Baltimore. That would be one of my predictions. But from everyone I've talked to, the guys who do this for a living, there are quite a few who are eyeing up the Browns over 5.5 wins. So it's just something to file away. We'll ask Marco about that in a few moments, but I can tell you that there are some guys who do this for a living who like the Browns over 5.5 wins, especially with Tyrod Taylor at the quarterback position.
Going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
To the Las Vegas desert we go. A good friend of the program, professional handicapper. You can check him out on Twitter at MarcoInVegas. And at wagertalk.com, where they are doing tremendous work, Marco D'Angelo joining us here on the Sharp 600. Best guy in the business to do an AFC North preview. But Marco, before we jump into that, take us behind the curtain for a sneak peek. How do you spend these summer months getting ready for the upcoming NFL season?
Well, what you want to look at, Joe, is you want to go back for a starting point of what the teams had at the end of the season last year, what teams were playing good, if they were building momentum, finishing the year, heading into the new season, and then what subtractions and additions they made to the team. One of the other things that I like to look at, because everybody talks about the regression, you know, teams that benefited from maybe a high turnover number, and we got a couple of those teams actually in the AFC North that we're going to talk about on both ends of it, the top end and the bottom end on turnovers, because you expect that's not going to continue, that that's, you know, to some degree an element of luck or misfortune, however you want to look at it, and that it'll, you know, regress and how much that affected their season, good or bad. So that's what I do to get the season started. Then, of course, the summer, the month of August, we are going to look at these preseason games, and I know a lot of people say, well, what do you really learn from preseason? Because everybody's playing vanilla and everything else, but you get to see some of the depth, and that's important moving forward, because teams that, you know, don't stay healthy, you know, you're going to have to know about these backups and how much of a drop-off it's going to be. Obviously, if everybody stays healthy, that's a benefit for, you know, certain team, but not all teams are going to enjoy that luxury during the course of the season.
All right, let's start with the Browns. Cleveland has reached 6 wins just 3 times over the last 15 years, yet the Westgate has a win total out for the Browns at 5.5, minus 155 to the over. Are you buying Hugh Jackson and the Browns in year 3 like a lot of the pros are?
Well, obviously, you know, they're going to be better, Joe. They can't get any worse, that's for sure. But they did make the, you know, the right moves. But we've said this before, you know, we look at them and they got all of these draft picks and, you know, did they use them wisely? I think the best move that they made was bringing Tyrod Taylor into quarterback. This is going to be a quick fix for the team, because as we talked about the element of turnovers, well, The Browns last year were on the negative side, 28 with the turnovers last year. And this is a team that in six of their losses last year were by 7 points or less. And four of them were actually decided by a field goal. It was late game mistakes that cost them a lot of games, games that they were in just when they were driving and you thought were going to get back into the game, they would have that costly turnover. Taylor's not going to do that. Interesting wrinkle to Cleveland this year, they added Todd Haley, the former offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know two games that he's going to be fired up for, you know, devising a game plan, so we'll see what happens with the Browns. But if you look at the optimism that they have there, you look at the last three games heading into their bye week this year, they got to play at Pittsburgh, then they play Kansas City, and then they play Atlanta. They go home after that Atlanta homestand with them and KC. They get their bye week, but then they finish out the season with 4 of 6 on the road. It's going to make it tough to reach that 5.5, in my opinion.
How do you see the quarterback situation playing out? Do you think Tyrod Taylor starts the year? And if so, how long does he hold the gig until Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick, takes over?
Well, obviously, if Taylor would stink up the joint, which I don't think is going to happen, we'll see Mayfield sooner than later. This is one that I think as long as there's hope on this team, they're going to stay with Tyrod Taylor. They could see Baker Mayfield at the end of the season where I tell you that they finish out because the season could be over by then and finish that last month out would be a good time to get him some work.
After 5 straight playoff appearances, the Cincinnati Bengals have won a grand total of just 13 games over the last 2 seasons. This year's win total reflects that, as they opened at a flat 7 but have since been bet down to 6.5 wins. Any reason for optimism in the Natty this year?
No, not really. This is a team that the biggest mystery to me, Joe, how does Marvin Lewis still have a job?
Not only
did they not fire him, which looked like being a foregone conclusion, somehow he managed to come out with a 2-year contract extension. It's just amazing to me. I would love to see the photos that he has on somebody that's keeping him there in Cincinnati, because they got to be good ones. But all kidding aside, somebody had to take the scapegoat position here, and so that was the rest of his staff. 5 new additions to the coaching staff this year, which is going to put you a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, so there's going to be a learning curve there with 2 new schemes being put into place. The problem for the Bengals has been they just can't stay healthy. I mean, this offense on paper look to be so productive. But whenever you can't keep Tyler Eifert on the field, this is a guy that has missed 22 of the 32 games the last 2 seasons. When you don't have all of the pieces there, they can't move the football, and thus they had only 280 yards of offense per game last year, worse than the NFL. Now you lose Jeremy Hill, goes to New England, and, you know, the rich just keep getting richer with the Patriots. So you don't have that power back out of the backfield anymore. It's going to put a lot more pressure on Andy Dalton. And to be honest with you, I think this is a make-or-break year for Dalton. They have nobody waiting in the wings because A.J. McCarron left. So it's his season to do, and, you know, he hasn't got it done. Let's be honest. It's been 27 years since the Bengals have won a playoff game. It's going to be 28. They're not going to get there. They finished the season in a horrible situation, playing 3 of 4 on the road. I just don't see the Bengals getting to the playoffs this year.
Since winning the Super Bowl in 2012, during the 2012 season over the Niners, Baltimore is 40-40 with 1 playoff win, and that came back in the 2014 season. This year, the win total sitting out there at 8. John Harbaugh could be quietly making a move towards the hot seat. Do you think he has enough left in the tank to get this team back to the promised land?
Well, you look at the Ravens, and they're an interesting team from last year. They managed somehow to go 9-7. The big thing was, and this is what we talk about, you know, we talked about Cleveland on the bottom end with the turnovers. Baltimore was on the other end. This was a team that prospered from plus 17 on the turnover margin. But you look at Joe Flacco, you know, ever since he got that big contract, man, he really hasn't lived up to that Super Bowl year that they had. It's been a regression for Joe. And you want to talk about hot seat, how about him? This is a team that went out and moved up in the draft to get Lamar Jackson. You know the crowd in Baltimore. If Flacco's not having a great season, or every time he throws a bad, you know, interception, they're going to be chanting for Lamar Jackson. Everybody loves the backup. This is the only sport where the backup might be as popular as the starters in pro football, but he's going to be waiting in the wings. But there are some things to like about this team. Even though they didn't do it offensively with big numbers last year, they were able to win nine games, and they've upgraded the offense. Flacco's got some more weapons this year. They added some speed and talent with Michael Crabtree and Willie Snead to the wide receiver position. Give him a few more targets to go to. I think this is a team that's going to need to score points, and they got one of the best weapons in the league. You cross midfield, you start heading towards that 40-yard line, it's almost an automatic with Justin Tucker in the field goal department to at least get you three out of here. But I got to tell you, look at the schedule that Baltimore has this year. What a ridiculous schedule. They have a stretch, Joe, from September 30th to October 28th, where they play four of five games on the road. That's hard for any team. And what's their reward when they come back home? They get the Pittsburgh Steelers on November 4th. And if you remember last year, the schedule maker wasn't kind to Baltimore either. They had to go to London and then come back and play the Steelers. I mean, it was a ridiculous spot for them, and we know that to win this division, the two games against the Steelers are critical. That's a tough spot for Baltimore going into this season.
Personally, for me, they're one of the hardest teams to cap because I don't think Joe Flacco will be quarterbacking them all season long. I think I've been hearing so much about Lamar Jackson. It feels like at some point he's going to take the job, and from there, to me, it becomes a bit of a crapshoot because I don't know how to necessarily handicap a rookie like Jackson in Harbaugh's system.
For sure, and it's a big decision if they do that because, you know, Flacco still has 2 years on this contract. This is a big contract. Are you going to sit him or are you going to, you know, have to look to make a, you know, maybe an off-season trade if you are going to go with Lamar Jackson? I would see Lamar Jackson, much like I said with the Cleveland situation, if Baltimore finds themselves out of it, barring injury, of course, to Flacco, if they find themselves out of it with 4 weeks to go, that's when you make the move.
All right, they were 13-3 last year. Pittsburgh has won the division, the AFC North, in three of the last four seasons, and they've posted double-digit win totals in four straight campaigns. Win total this year sitting at 10.5. Do you see Big Ben and the Steelers producing another 11-win season?
Well, they're playing in the right division to do it because there's so many questions regarding all of the other teams. The Steelers, we know what we got. They got one of the best offenses in the league. But the window's closing on that offense for the Steelers. And the reason for that, of course, starts with Big Ben. He's 36 years old. The last couple of years, you've heard the rumblings about him, you know, in the offseason, and I don't know if I want to come back and all of this. He didn't do that this year because he got a lot of flack for it last year. But last year, we didn't know if Ben really was going to come back or not after the season ended, or I should say 2 years ago. But he is 36, so that window is closing, and let's face it. I see, you know, Le'Veon Bell, all of the contract problems that they've had with him the last two seasons, most likely, you know, that's going to be a problem in the offseason. We got to jump over the Madden jinx because Antonio Brown is going to be on the cover of Madden 19, if you believe in jinxes, and it's been one that's been real. So other than that, if they jump all of those, the Steelers' offense will be, you know, just fine. They dodged a big scare Saturday in training camp when Foster went down the left guard. This is a guy that's taken the most snaps of any of the Steeler linemen since 2009. Hyperextended knee. Going to be out 4 to 5 weeks. Should be back for week one of the regular season. Luckily, no ligament damage, but it was a big scare when he went down on Saturday. I like this team. Defense is going to have some holes. They got it. You know, there's no way to sugarcoat it. The Ryan Shazier injury, you know, both on the personal level and for the Steelers, huge, huge injury. They got to fill that position. I like what, you know, some of the moves that they made, but that's going to be an Achilles heel on this team this year, is going to be the defense. So we could see Ben, you know, your fantasy guys might want to be looking at some of the, you know, a lot of the Steeler players in their fantasy, because they're going to be putting up a lot of points, I think, to compensate for the defense. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'm a situational guy, Joe. I can't do your podcast without giving your listeners a couple situational spots.
Oh, yeah.
For the Steelers this year. The Steelers got two major, major games on their schedule this year. One of the problems with the Steelers, and I do believe it's the reason they lost to Jacksonville in the playoff game last year, they are so obsessed with the New England Patriots because they can't, that's their nightmare, that's their Achilles heel. They can't get past Belichick. That I think they got caught looking ahead to the AFC Championship game against New England last year in the playoffs, and Jacksonville just came in and jumped on them early, and the Steelers just, they tried valiantly to get back into it, but they dug themselves too big of a hole early in that game. They play both New England and Jacksonville this year during the regular season. So, one, you know that when the Steelers play Jacksonville, that's a game that's going to be circled on their calendar. And if you look at the schedule when they go to Jacksonville, they will have played 2 weeks earlier at Baltimore, always a big game. Then they're going to have Carolina at home, which will be a physical game as well. And then they're going to play that Jacksonville game on the road. After those three games, they're going to play the very next week Denver on the road. Situational spot. I'm going to have Denver circled there. That's going to be their third road game in 4 weeks and off a monster revenge game, especially if the Steelers manage to get their revenge against Jacksonville. That'll be a flat spot for them. And then they play New England at home in December. That could be for home field advantage. So the following week, they go back out on the road and play New Orleans. That's, see, that New England game is sandwiched with road games to Oakland and to New Orleans. I'll be looking at New Orleans in that second game off of the New England one.
Man, I love it that these conversations are back in my life. Marco D'Angelo with us here on the Sharp 600. Couple more before we let you go. We'll start with a two-parter. In the AFC North, how many of the four teams are legitimate playoff contenders? How many are legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Steelers, playoffs, and Super Bowl, legitimate. Baltimore, I will put them on the fringe of legitimate playoff team, but that's as far as I'll go with Baltimore. And that's going to depend on Flacco coming, you know, stepping up his game. He's got the weapons. There's no excuse for him this year. If they can put up some good offensive numbers, Baltimore has a chance to challenge the Steelers for the division.
Any other win totals or potential futures that caught your eye that may be outside of the AFC North?
The team that I like, and I think it was just a situation last year, the old Super Bowl loser hangover, I think the Atlanta Falcons are a team that is forgotten. And it's a situation because, you know, you've got so many teams that are up and coming in the NFC. Obviously, Philadelphia, you know, came from nowhere to win the Super Bowl last year. Everybody is extremely high on the Rams because of what they did last year, and they expect that progression to continue this year. And then you add in all of the additions that the Rams did in the offseason, they might have been one of the most, you know, volatile teams as far as making a good team even better. But I think the Falcons are flying under the radar, and at a price I enjoy taking a shot with them, because you got veterans on that team. The core is there from the Super Bowl team. Matt Ryan, you know, this is a guy that, yeah, maybe the window's starting to close on him as well, like we talked with Ben. But don't forget them. These other teams that are making that big rise, we're going to see what Philadelphia does coming off the Super Bowl year. And it's in a unique situation where, you know, you've got the Super Bowl quarterback, you know, not the starter. This is a situation where, you know, Wentz lost his, you know, the Super Bowl chance with the injury, but he's the future of that team. So it's going to actually put a little more pressure on him this year to live up to what happened in the Super Bowl last year. And then the Rams, they're still a young team. You've got to go through your learning curve and learn how to win and win the playoff games before you take that next step to get to the Super Bowl. And so we'll see if they can do that this year. We already know that Atlanta has. So that's my long shot for you.
Year in, year out, he is one of the absolute best in the business. Check him out at wagertalk.com as well as on Twitter at Marco in Vegas. Marco D'Angelo joining us here on the Sharp 600. Love you, buddy. Thank you so much for your time. Look forward to doing it again soon.
No problem. Anytime, Joe.
Pay that man his money.
Hot damn, it feels good to be talking football again. Great to be back in the saddle. Great to be podcasting with you guys again. We have more divisional previews coming later this week. College podcasts are coming as well. We've got so much to cover between now and kickoff. But for right now, that was your AFC North preview, courtesy of Marco D'Angelo in Las Vegas. Hey, everyone, we're back tomorrow. Be well and best of luck. Step got my homies to watch my work and the smoke.